This is BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. It's time now for the Christian War Room with your host, Michael Schonborn. Now, here's Michael.
Thank you, Dan, for the introduction there, and thank you for coming to the War Room and listening to the War Room. You can listen to The War Room, number one, at BPN Radio, 11:30 at night, so that is just before the graveyard shift. Also, in the afternoon as well, on selected days, I'm not quite sure which ones the day are, and obviously you can go to christianwarroom.com and listen to all the different talks from there. Are they important? Are they not important? I don't know. I'm trying my best here in the studio to get across what is relevant and what the church is dealing with, and to go to war against ideas, concepts, and ideologies, bad theology, and all sorts of stuff that puts itself up against the knowledge of God. Okay, what are we talking about today? It's sort of a big gripe I have, and I've had for many, many years. Should I say it's a thorn in my side? It's not really a thorn in my side because I'm not dealing with these people directly, but I'm feeling for the body of Christ. And it disturbs me deeply what is going on, the abuse that is going on in the church. Okay, I'm going to, in a minute, show you an audio excerpt from a talk by a group called the Young Turks, and they are a liberal, leftish kind of group. And they're Americans, and they're Muslims, and they, cover all sorts of subjects. And in one instance, they looked at all the televangelists and the obvious greed that is going on within the realm of some of the top dogs within televangelism. And I want to talk about this for a little bit tonight, and I would like you to stay tuned and maybe just to take it on board. Maybe you agree with what I'm saying. I'm going to scratch on some very high and important personalities, but do I care? Not really. I care for the truth. I care for the gospel. I care for what I feel God has placed on my heart. Do I get everything right? No, I don't. I know that. And it's up to you as well to try and test everything, what I say here in the War Room, and elsewhere. Yeah? It's very, very important, but also important to weigh things before the Lord. But it's also important to be alert, to be wise, to hold out. You know, the Bible is warned, especially in the last days, there'll be deceivers, you know, right, left, and center. The Bible talks about people to whom godliness is a means to gain. Yeah? And it talks about financial gain, not any other gain. And Paul talks about it in a negative connotation. And let me just sort of get a few points across before I dive into, and I'm going to play what these guys were saying, and you will hear some very familiar voices there as well. If you are a Christian, you've been around the block once or twice, and you've been following the Christian media, probably not just in the United States, but all over. Okay, let me just go the first point Jesus made. Jesus made a point about yeast, that or leaven. The leaven works its way through the dough. And the way I understand this particular scripture is that it talks about false doctrine. And false doctrine works itself all the way through, and suddenly, leaven is, or yeast has gone through the whole dough, and that's it. You know, it's everywhere. And we need to watch out for this, because false doctrine, some of it is not doing an awful lot. For example, if it's doctrine about pre-trib rapture, post-trib rapture, no rapture at all, or whatever, it's prophetic, and the proof is in the pudding. When it happens, it happens. If you are considered worthy, if you are considered to be one of the, and again, that's another question as well, who goes and who doesn't. If you are one of the elect, you will go. If not, you will stay here, and you have to go through the tribulation period. Okay, so that is... That may not be, that much of an issue, and it's certainly not something to fall out upon. Some of my good friends I have, preachers I recognize highly, I've got great respect for, And they've got a completely different idea about eschatology. It is quite interesting what they say, but it's completely different, way out to sort of orthodox evangelical eschatology. So that's teaching of the end times. I mean, to the point that I was actually quite shocked when I heard them say this, but it doesn't lead me to break fellowship with them. But there is a doctrine which will affect your Christian life, which will affect your walk with God. Now, every God doctrine should be good for edification. It should be good for a reprimand, for reproof, you know, leading you on the right way, leading you in the way of God, leading you away from sin and into holiness, leading you into a fruitful relationship with God. That is really what doctrine is all about. Understanding who God is, understanding how this world functions, understanding everything around it, understanding prophecy as well to some extent. And preparing you in your life, in your walk with God here on earth, so that you can do the right things for God and that you are not unnecessarily feel convicted of stuff you shouldn't be feeling convicted about, but also that you should be feeling convicted about stuff that you should be feeling convicted about and that you can do something about it. That is, you bring it to Christ, you repent, not meaning you artificially feel miserable for, you know, at least a week, but you repent whenever it happens and you turn around, you turn away from it and you pursue the narrow way, the way Christ has laid in front of you. So that is really what this is all about. Now, doctrine can take this away. So if I tell you that God's will for your life is for you to be rich, I can take your emphasis away from living a holy life, you know, having peace in your heart, being generous towards others, you know, having compassion on the poor, seeking God with all of your heart, to seeking possibly financial success. So suddenly you try to engage in business, which God, some people are called for business, some are not. But maybe in your case, God has not called you to business, but you need to make more money than what you can earn as a loan earner or wage earner. So you need to pursue a career, you need to get the next best step so that you can go up the career ladder. And suddenly you focus on this rather than on focusing on God and just, you know, if anything is given to you, you take it, like a promotion or maybe a good business idea. Maybe God has called you particularly into business. But even then, you shouldn't focus too much on running the business. You should focus on serving God and giving to God what is God's. And that is very, very important. Okay. What did Jesus do? Jesus did something very interesting. He said about himself that he, you know, that birds have nests, foxes have holes, but the Son of Man hasn't got a place to lay his head. So he was pretty much homeless in his ministry. He was going around, I'm sure. People invited him to stay. I'm sure he found access to houses. I'm sure as he was traveling the 3 years in his ministry, it was important for him to be around and to go around. And we may not necessarily be called to do the same thing, but then again, you know, he didn't have, you know, the chariot with the quadriga, I think is it 8 horses or 16 horses or something, a lot of horses in front of it so that he could go really, really fast from place to place. But he was walking, and when he went into Jerusalem, he had to borrow a donkey to ride on a donkey as the king of Jerusalem, into Jerusalem, in humility, yeah. So that is really what we are talking about, Jesus. And then we've got a bunch of guys who come along, and they talk about that God wants you rich. He wants you prosperous. He wants you to have heaven on earth, and he wants you to pursue a good life, a life of pleasantries. What we read in the Bible is slightly different. The Bible says, if they persecuted me, they'll persecute you also. If you do want to live and pursue to live a godly life, you will suffer persecution. So this is a given. You know, follow God and you will get it in the neck. Yeah, that's pretty much what it says. That's what the Bible says. It doesn't say, look, if you want to follow God, God will bless you so much that you will, you know, not know what to do with your money. No, it's not really. God says that he will meet all of your needs, that you shouldn't worry about what you wear today and tomorrow, or what shall we eat, or what shall we do, this and that. God will meet all of your needs. He will provide, and he will give you provision adequately and richly. So always bear this in mind. Yeah. And then we've got these guys coming along who use the house of God, to use the kingdom of God as a means to enrich themselves, to make money. So their recipe and their gospel is, if, because they are self-proclaimed ministers and they are in the ministry and they have got some special status. So if you give them money, then God will bless you with lots more money. And that is really what is coming out of it. And okay, fair enough. You say, okay, if you give them money and they just live normal lives like everybody else, and they go along and they, you know, look after the poor and whatever access they have, they try and invest it into the proclamation of the gospel or anything like that. You could kind of understand what is going on, but it's not the case. One minister, he's got his own fleet of airplanes, not just an airplane, but a fleet of them. And the expensive ones as well, the million-dollar class ones. It goes even further, and this is sort of how the bizarreness carries on. He's got his own airport. So behind his ministry headquarters, there's a runway, and he just has his own airport, which belongs to him, and where he can start and land his plane and doesn't have to worry too much, you know, drive for too long to get home. I mean, I'm not quite sure whether presidents have their own airport. I think they still need to drive somewhere to fly away from. Certainly don't have their own airport behind the house where they are living, or very close to the house where they are living. And in one of the guys' case, it's just near the ministry headquarters. So it's just very strange and very bizarre. And you wonder, what is going on? You know, is this biblical? And the answer clearly is no, it's not biblical. It came sometime in the last century. And one thing which is biblical, and I tell you this and then I leave it at that, is that when you come to Christ, yeah, what you find is that people will change. You know, there's some process of sanctification taking place. People spend less money in the pub. I know one guy who pretty much spends all his wages in the pub, and he has to, you know, live off other people's income to survive, yeah, for his living, his food, and so on. And it's quite sickening. You know, all his money, everything he earns just goes right straight down to the bar, and that's his whole life. Yeah. Shocking. Absolutely shocking. Now, when people come to Christ, this tends to stop. And people go less to the bar. They go less on extra sort of things which they can't really afford. Status symbols are no longer important. They tend not to be bothered to wear the best clothes. Vanity goes out of the window. And people are happy and content with what they have. And as a result of it, very often, one suddenly they find that they've got a surplus in their bank account, yeah, that not all money goes out. And then they carry on living, you know, because they are more honest, they provide a good day's work. What you find is that they're in a position that they get promoted, they get better jobs. People notice that something's about them, that they are better workers, and they move on. And suddenly we find, and this is what's been observed, especially sort of over the last 50 years, that people who come to Christ tend to do better than people who don't. And some of it is explained just through the process of sanctification. Some of it is obviously the blessing of God as well in their lives, in small steps that God is giving to them and making just things a little bit easier for them. And then some people came along and they said, "Ooh, there's something in here. You know, if you come to Christ, it's all about prosperity. He'll make you wealthy." And then they look at a lot of Old Testament scriptures, which are not really meant for us as such, but they are meant for the nation of Israel. Obviously, you can, you know, using hermeneutics, pick it up and get it to yourself as well. But always bear in mind, you know, the Bible, the New Testament, warns us from becoming rich. Talks about the dangers of becoming rich and the entrapment which is there. And now you've got preachers who encourage you to become rich and to make lots of money and to focus on money. And the key to you becoming rich and to focus on money is you giving them lots of your money. The whole thing goes from the sublime to the ridiculous when some of them, dare to dream and believe for a new jet. There was one guy, I read sort of his thing. He actually had a big appeal on his website, and I went through this and I read the whole story. This is the way it sounded to me, you know. He was almost sort of having a tear-jerking thing, because the undercarriage almost went when his wife and his daughters came back from England and landed at the airport, and he needed desperately a new plane because he's got two churches where he needs to go to and fro, and obviously. The interesting thing is that he has this report and he has this story, and he says that his wife and his daughter or something, they went to London from somewhere in America. And it didn't say, state anywhere, that this was a ministry business. You know, they didn't go on a preaching tour or on a witnessing tour or, you know, delivering Bibles for the poor, anything, nothing like that. So it sounded, they were just on a, this is the way it sounded to me. I don't know whether it's true. I don't know whether it's not. But this is the way it came across to me. They just went out on a jolly. That's what it sounded like, because they didn't make a statement, maybe for good reasons, the purpose of their trip. And they came back and everything went wrong. You know, the undercarriage almost went, and he now desperately needs a new jet. And he needs about, I'm not sure what the figure was, whether it was 20 million or 7 million or something, but he needs a couple of million dollars to get another jet. And he refuses not to dream about it, even though people criticize him for the appeal, the money appeal for his jet. And if you belong to his church, you can make a donation to his jet fund. I don't know whether he's got it in the meantime or not, but to me, it sounded very, 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 very bad. It just brings the name of Christ into disrepute. It brings Christianity into disrepute when preachers rise up and they are living in opulence to a degree that many people in the world cannot even dream about. Many people in the world, many business leaders in the world, they wouldn't go that far. And they wouldn't, I mean, maybe some do, but some they wouldn't be able to afford it. And this is all the kingdom of God. This is money of the church of saints to give, you know, the last money to the church. Okay, let's listen to the clip from the Young Turks. Some of it is very offensive, so I need to warn you. Obviously, feel free to switch off. But I think it's important for you to know how the world sees the church. And it's important for us to distance ourselves from this opulence, and to be very clear in the message we proclaim, that we are not of those who are seeking treasures here on earth, but we are seeking treasures in heaven. Okay, let's listen to this, to these guys.
So there's this insane phenomenon called the prosperity gospel, where preachers say, send me all your money, I'm going to get rich, I'm going to drive around in limos and have private jets and spend your money and take you for a fool and tell you that Jesus Christ wants me to fly on a private jet. How can anybody believe this? Black preachers do it, white preachers do it. There's a black preacher named Creflo Dollar. He changed his name to Dollar. And people are like, oh yeah, absolutely. Here you go, here's all my life savings, go ahead. Please let me into heaven. Yeah, because God, when he's figuring out who's going to get into heaven, is going to ask Creflo Dollar. Hey Creflo, how much did they pay you? They pay you, oh, how many jets you got? Oh, you're up to six. All right, go ahead, let him in there. Who can possibly believe that? But unfortunately, Christians in this country, you know, I assume they mean well. Don't send your hard-earned money to these guys. But they do believe it. They believe that God's going to help them if they give money to these scam artists. Now, in this case, it's Kenneth Copeland and Jesse Duplantis. Guy's name sounds like duplicitous. Anyway, that are talking here, they happen to be white gospel preachers. They also happen to believe that all your money should go into their pockets. And they're going to talk about why they need private jets. You're thinking, no, that can't be. They're not really going to talk. Yes, they are. Watch.
Got in the plane that God so graciously gave us. We're flying home. As I was going home, the Lord, real quickly, he said, Jesse, do you like your plane? Now, you know, I thought that's an odd statement. I said, well, certainly, Lord. He said, do you really like it? And I thought, well, yes, Lord. Then he said this, so that's it? I didn't know how to handle it. For me. I went, what? He said, you're going to let your faith stagnate? And when he said that, that shocked me. I went, whoa, wait. I literally unbuckled my seatbelt, my plane. I stood up. My pilots looked around and said, do you need something? I said, no, I'm talking to God right now. And he went back to flying.
You couldn't have done that on an airliner.
No, sir. No way.
Stand up and say, what'd you say, Lord?
No.
Okay, no, yeah. And the guy sitting over there saying, what the hell does he think he's doing? You can't do
you
that.
You can't do that.
No. The world is in such a shape, we can't get there without this.
That's right.
We've got to have this. The mess that the airlines are in today, I would have to stop. I'm being very conservative. At least 75 to 80, more like 90% of what we're doing, because you can't get there from here.
It's impossible.
Oh, no, no. Yeah, God said I need my private jet. I mean, I can't get there from here. Of course you can. You see the regular plane, right? Oh, no, but I'm talking to God. I love this. Did you catch what he said in the middle? First of all, they're having a show where this guy claims he's talking to God, and God is telling him to buy a second jet. He says, you don't want your ministry to stagnate, do you? Because if you only had one private jet, well, Jesus would be very displeased. Who can believe that? Who can believe that? But apparently millions of Americans. They're like, oh, yeah, no, no. God probably wanted to talk to this guy. And I hear, all right, God, what are you doing? Oh, pilot, now go back to flying the plane, otherwise we're all going to die. Okay, God, what did you say? Oh, no, yeah, I should get a second plane. Okay, well, I mean, you can't talk to God when there's all this riffraff around in a regular plane, right? I mean, Oral Roberts, who's one of the godfathers of the snake oil salesman routine in the first place, he apparently messed up and would fly among regular people. Yuck. They explain that here.
When I was flying for Oral Roberts, now Oral used to fly airlines.
Right.
But even back there then, man, it got to the place where it was agitating his spirit.
Sure.
People coming up to him. He had become famous and they wanting him to pray for him and all that. You can't manage that today.
Right.
This dope-filled world.
Right.
And get in a long tube with a bunch of demons.
Right. That's exactly the
point. And it's deadly.
And it works on your heart. It really does.
So I wanted to make that clear so the devil can't lie to you and say, see there, them preachers spending all that money, just fat cats riding around.
It's not a comedy skit. That's funnier than any comedy skit I've ever seen. But it's not one. They're serious.
If I flew with you all regular people, that's a long plane full of demons.
He's calling you demons. Who are the demons in the plane? It's regular citizens.
No, no, no. Well, we can't have that. Oral Roberts would have regular people come up and talk to him and have him try to pray for him. I mean, he's a preacher. He's not supposed to pray for you, right?
And people look at that and go, oh, my God, they're so right. I mean, they can't be in a plane with riffraff like me if they're going to have conversations with God. This is not about fat cats. Not about fat cats. No, God told him. I mean, if God hadn't told him, maybe it wouldn't be the case. But God told him that he needs a second private jet. Meanwhile, we got a guy riding regular planes filled with demons who's running to be the head of this country. He's doing pretty well, has a good chance at it. Can I see his picture real quick? That's Bernie Sanders in a middle seat. He's in coach, and he's in a middle seat, and he apparently doesn't mind a plane filled with demons. He's doing just fine there. See, that's a humble man. That's a real man. That's a man looking after your own interests. The guys who are on their private jets are laughing their asses off at you as you send them money. What did Jesus do first? And if you are a Christian, a real Christian, what did he do first? He threw out the money changers from the temple. Here the money changers go and build me a larger temple and then give me a couple of private jets on top. And you look at that and go, oh, okay. I mean, I barely made any money today, but I guess instead of eating three times a day, I'll eat twice a day and I'll give my money to them so they can talk to God in their private jets. Oh, don't do that, man. Don't do that. Behind the scenes, they're going, ha, we got all that money. Don't believe the hype, man. They're snake oil salesmen on a plane.
Okay, I'm back, and let's discuss this. Now, these are Turks, Muslims. They're called the Young Turks, a leftish liberal group picking on Christians. And here's the tragedy. You know, pretty much in all the stuff they are saying, they are right. They're talking about the money changers Jesus was driving out of the temple, people who made God's place a marketplace, the house of God a marketplace. And there's something similar going on in the church today, you know, where greed is preached, where there's a different gospel, and where these guys are making a mockery of Christianity. Also, I mean, you've heard some of the comments by Duplantis and Copeland of talking about riffraff and, you know, people coming to Oral Roberts and asking him to pray for them and so on, and that this apparently is really bad, and that they need this exclusivity of a private jet. I don't know how you think to it, and I don't know, you know, what do you think about these people. I was quite shocked by what these guys were saying, and they were not saying this privately away from anybody. They were just doing this publicly on television, on Christian television, trying to justify their need for a private jet and why they need to go around in a costly air traffic and air travel. Okay, what is the conclusion of all this, my friends? The conclusion is just be careful. You know, don't liaise yourself. Don't support these types of scripture. Go get away from the prosperity gospel. You know, the scripture is clear. God is going to meet all of our needs, not all of our wants, but all of our needs. I would even go so far, you know, if you genuinely need a private jet, you probably get it, but don't be arrogant about it. Don't call people riffraff. Don't, you know, go to a point where you say, right, you know, it can't be done because I'm something better. I need to travel better than anybody else. Yeah. Paul didn't have his own ship. He was just a passenger. We don't find any precedence in the Bible for anything like what is happening today. On the contrary, we find the extreme opposite in the Bible. Always bear this in mind. What we find, though, is we find a lot of warnings about people who are using the gospel as a means to make money, godliness as a means for gain. And this is referring to financial gain in the Bible. Paul is talking about this, and it's shocking what we see today. And the problem is people like Muslims, they pick up on it. To them, Christianity is Christianity. And they turn a lot of people, a lot of genuine people off the gospel. And we need to make it clear, you know, this is not the gospel. The gospel is one, it's to do with sin. It's to do with redemption. It's to do with salvation. It's to do with humility. It's to do with seeking God out of a pure heart, and not a pure heart because we are better, but we are called by God and we are washed clean by the blood of Christ. And that is the important message. That's the gospel we need to get across. We need to say that we are here just as messengers to get this message out. We need to approach this world in a spirit of humility and a spirit of the power of God. Now, what these guys are displaying, I do not believe that this is the power of God. It is a fake faith. It is a faith that's based on materialism and is not anything that you can justify in the Bible. The faith God is and God is going to put in your heart is a faith to raise the dead. It's a faith to heal the sick. It's a faith to meet needy people in their uttermost needs and to help them, to bless them, and to get them back on the straight and narrow. This may be financially, and God may give you the means to deal with it financially, but it most likely is going to be spiritual as well. That you can look at a person and you just know what's going on inside of them, and you will, through divine wisdom, be able to talk into that person's life and turn their lives around. Not because of who you are, but because of who God is and because of the power of God being with you. It's got nothing to do with materialism. It's got nothing to do with having lots of money and having lots of stuff. Lots of stuff is not going to make you happy. It's going to tie you up. And I make a final comment, and we have to come to an end. I once said, was talking to a Christian lady who had lots of property. And I said to her, it must be nice to have all this stuff. And she said, look, the problem is not having all this stuff, but it's the stuff having you. You know, the house is possessing you and controlling your life rather than the other way around. And that is something we need to take to heart. Money doesn't make you happy. God bless. Thank you for listening to The War Room. Bye-bye.
For the past half hour, you've been listening to The Christian War Room with host Michael Sean Bourne. For more information on how you can participate or find out more about The Christian War Room, simply go to ChristianWarRoom.com. That's ChristianWarRoom.com.